607 FM Talk 1065, Mobile Mornings, Thursday style. Pretty good. The weekend ahead. Problem is, weekend looks like it's going to be pretty wet. I actually was strategizing last night on what I would do with my time over the weekend. I said, oh, I got this inside project, that inside project, that other inside project, which is rare for me. I usually make sure I can spend as much time under the sun as possible on a weekend, but looks like it's going to be less than perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get more from Dr. Bill at 6:35.
Well, you can give it a shot. You can try to work outside this weekend. You'll just need to wear your colossus.
When the rain, you know, when it's this hot, the rain really doesn't matter. It's that the lightning thing.
Oh,
if it's,
yeah.
If there's no lightning, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's that hot rain that often runs me inside. All right, coming up on today's show, I wrote this as I walked in here this morning. Remember the good old days when it was just a pandemic and a bad economy?
Oh.
Remember back in the good old days?
Yeah, that's all we had to worry about.
Remember those days? Remember when they were just like, big story was, well, they arrested some, you know, some citizen who tried to open their business and operate it. Remember those good old days?
Mm-hmm. Couldn't get haircuts.
Yeah. Back in the good old days. It's a whole new world now, a month later, and we're covering all for you right here on FM Talk 106.5. Speaking of the fight against the virus, with the numbers nationally and locally, Dalton's got the latest, and there's lots to talk about this morning. Roll through the numbers for national and local.
Yeah, so we'll start nationally as we do every morning, and we continue to inch closer to 2 million total cases of coronavirus in America. We're now at 1,902,000 and 109,000 deaths. That's after 20,578 new cases were added in America yesterday and 1,083 deaths reported nationally yesterday. Over the last week, there have been fewer than 1,250 deaths reported every single day, which is, you know, pretty good news. We don't want to see any deaths, but when you compare that to our peak back on April 21st of 2,683 deaths, to have a full week where there's been fewer than 1,250 looks like good news to me. According to the Atlantic's COVID tracker, they track the number of national test results from 3 p.m. until 3 p.m. every day. They said there were 457,000 test results nationally yesterday, the seventh day in a row that over 400,000 people have been tested, and there have now been 215,000 total tests nationally since the pandemic began. Now, looking at Alabama and the dashboard from the Alabama Department of Public Health, not much new data was reported yesterday. I do not expect that the numbers they added yesterday are the full picture. I think they will be going back after the fact and adding to yesterday's numbers. But as the stats look right now, 18,554 confirmed cases of coronavirus in the state. Only 80 cases added to yesterday's totals, but Tuesday's numbers have been adjusted from 122 new cases to 228. And when you look at the averages, the weekly average now, 405 cases per day, that's a 7-day average, and the 2-week average, 14 days, 422 cases per day. Also, according to the Alabama Department of Public Health, 651 have died due to COVID-19. There were zero deaths added yesterday after seven deaths reported Tuesday. We hit our peak of daily deaths back on May the 12th when 37 died. So taking into account yesterday's number of zero deaths, which again, you know, maybe we had zero deaths. I certainly think that the test total count is low, but you take that into account, the deaths, and the 7-day average is 10, and the 2-week average of daily deaths in Alabama is now 9 per day. According to the Alabama Department of Public Health, 231,000 total coronavirus tests have been performed, and 76,000 of those have come in the last 2 weeks. But only two test results were added yesterday after 6,416 on Tuesday. You look over the last week, 7.5% of the test results have been positive, and 8.7% have been positive over the past 2 weeks. Both of those numbers have dropped pretty drastically over the last few days. Looking at the local numbers, Mobile County only added one new case and zero deaths yesterday. You see why I'm starting to think that that not all the data was input yesterday. So Mobile County now has 2,284 positive cases with 118 deaths. Baldwin County added no new cases or deaths yesterday after no new cases or deaths on Tuesday. 292 cases and 9 deaths in Baldwin County. In Washington County, 72 cases of coronavirus with 6 deaths. Clark County has 149 cases with 2 deaths. Monroe County, 45 cases with 2 deaths. Escambia County, 75 cases with 3 deaths. Choctaw County, 153 with 10 deaths. Kanaka County, 41 cases with 1 death. And Wilcox County, 100 654 cases with 7 deaths. And looking at two of the major counties, Mobile's been hit the hardest in Alabama to this point, but Montgomery County quickly catching up with Jefferson County in total number of cases. Jefferson County has 1,884 positive cases compared to Montgomery County's 1,823. So Montgomery County now only 60 cases fewer than Jefferson County. And when you take into account the population of those two counties, that's a pretty big step up for Montgomery. They've had a lot of cases added over the last week and a half. Still 43 deaths in Montgomery County compared to 103 in Jefferson County, and only one new hospitalization reported in the state yesterday.
So Baldwin County continues to challenge logic out there. Logic of people traveling in and bringing COVID, people from inside the state or outside the state. It also did not put in the curfew measures that happened like in the city of Mobile and all that. And still, it's so, you know, Montgomery has tighter controls on people, and look at the cases. Mm-hmm. And look at Baldwin County, when we get on the back side of this, Baldwin County is going to be, I really want to study Baldwin County.
Yeah.
What we can learn. I know there's a bunch of y'all puffed up in Fairhope and, you know, people in Seminole and Gulf Shores and Orange Beach and Silver Hill and Bay Minette are, yeah, that's right, Sullivan, Mobile County guy. I get, hey, I'm in awe of y'all. Y'all, there's something to be taken from. I don't know what it is yet. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn something from Baldwin County. And you know, the AL.com reporting a story that there's this big surge in cases in Alabama. It's true, but you point out it's focused on certain counties.
That's exactly
like
right. Yeah, and you know, we were talking last week about that report from CNN. Remember the hit piece? And I'll call it a hit piece
because it was. Yeah.
They came down to Gulf Shores, showed pictures of the hangout.
I'll put it in my language. This is not official opinion of the station. Maybe it is. They came down here to say, hey, let's go look at all the dumb rednecks.
That's exactly right. And I haven't been checking in on CNN very much at all since then, but I don't believe they've sent a reporter back down to do a story on why Baldwin County's numbers have not increased. No,
where's Anderson Cooper now?
Yeah, I haven't seen him.
Because I think on both sides there's a failing. If you say, okay, the cases and Mobile's story, like you pointed out, and the mayor pointed out last night, Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson did, said as of tonight, there have been a total of 2,293 total to confirm cases of COVID-19 in Mobile County. Out of 28,214 total tests, there are 118 deaths attributed to the virus. There have been no deaths in Mobile County since June 1st, according to Mobile County Health Department. So the mayor's reporting that. Then AL.com's got stories out that basically, we told you if you open back up the state, this would happen. But it's not everywhere happening. So I think if AL.com wanted to write, which they don't, but wanted to write there's actually several very good reporters with AL.com, and there's a lot of people that are just in the straight editorial business, which I am, but they're pretending to be journalists. They should have said, see, we told you Montgomery County, because they can't say that for every county. And I don't know why. I don't know why one county is doing better than another, but it is. And they need to report that kind of information because there's something to be, I don't know what it is yet, but we're going to learn something. It's like the beauty of our republic that you let states do their own thing. And then you go, oh, look at that state over there. They're doing this thing, and that's really working great. Mm-hmm. Let's try to do what they're doing. You learn from this experiment in democracy, but it's not being treated that way. Yesterday, Mobile County Health Department, Dr. Randy Murphy was maybe saying case numbers were down because Memorial Day holiday and people didn't go get tested.
Right, but that was a week and a half ago.
You pointed that out. Yeah, there's that 10 days in between. Be scientists, be statisticians, do your job. I'm for that. I'm pro-science. But don't try to push a narrative beyond what the information says. Give us the information and we'll process it.
Because, you know, it does take time to develop these symptoms.
Sure
it does.
Catch
coronavirus, and it takes time to get the test results back. But Memorial Day weekend had a ton of people at the beach. So did the weekend before that, and so did the weekend before that. The Baldwin County beaches have been open for nearly 5 weeks now. So you would expect a rise in the number of cases, not necessarily from the people traveling out of town and going to the beach and then going back to their towns. Maybe they're getting tested wherever they're from, but that doesn't take into account the people that live in Baldwin County that interact with all these out-of-towners that come to the town. You would expect the numbers to rise from people in the service industry or people that that are out there working on the beach, or people that are on the beach and from Baldwin County alongside all these other travelers. But we just haven't seen those numbers yet.
Yeah, and there may be, there may be a point, it might be in August or something, for some of the reason there's a big spike. I don't know that that's coming, but I'm not going to tell you that it isn't. I'm not going to tell you that it is. I'm going to say, let's look at the numbers as they come in and see what we can glean from these individual counties and the statistics coming out of there. All right, Dalton, we appreciate the update. 617. Also in Washington yesterday, so much to talk about with Esper breaking ranks with the president, then the press conference afterwards where McEnany was talking about the future of Esper as part of the cabinet. Linda Kenyon from Westwood One with more.
It was a direct contradiction.
I do not support invoking the Insurrection Act.
The Insurrection Act is an 1807 law that permits the president to dispatch the military or federalize the National Guard in states that are unable to put down an insurrection or are defying federal law.
The option to use active duty forces in a law enforcement role should only be used as a matter of last resort and only in the most urgent and dire of situations. We are not in one of those situations now.
The act has been invoked in the past to confront the KKK during Reconstruction, to enforce desegregation in the South, and to help California's governor respond to the 1992 riots in Los Angeles. Secretary Esper also had a lot to say about President Trump's walk from the White House to an historic church that he says took a surprise turn.
I did know that following the president's remarks on Monday evening that many of us were going to join President Trump and review the damage in Lafayette Park and at St. John's Episcopal Church. What I was not aware of was exactly where we were going when we arrived at the church and what the plans were once we got there.
When they got there, President Trump held up a Bible in front of the church for a pre-planned photo op, a development that put Esper in an uncomfortable position.
Look, I do everything I can to try to stay apolitical and to try and stay out of situations that may appear political. And sometimes I'm successful at doing that, and sometimes I'm not as successful. But my aim is to keep the department out of politics, to stay apolitical.
But Esper admits this is an election year, and that's not so easy.
There's a political tone to this. We are in a political season. An election approaches, and this is always a challenge for every Department of Defense in every election year.
Esper also took some heat for using the term battle space to describe the protests.
It is part of our military lexicon that I grew up with, and it's what we routinely use to describe a bounded area of operations. It's not a phrase focused on people, and certainly not on our fellow Americans, as some have suggested.
Esper's mere suggestion that he was not on board with the president's wishes on the use of the military or on the photo op might be enough to make him the target of Trump's wrath. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany.
As of right now, Secretary Esper is still Secretary Esper, and should the president lose faith, we will all learn about that in the future.
And as for whether the president is still planning on invoking the Insurrection Act?
He has the sole authority to invoke the Insurrection Act, and if necessary, he will do so to protect American citizens.
Linda Kenyon, Washington.
I'll talk more about that and the history of the Insurrection Act coming up on later in the hour. 1992, the last time used there during the L.A. riots. Also, former Defense Secretary Mattis has called President Trump a threat to the Constitution. We'll talk more about that in a few headlines from WKRG next.
This information update brought to you by Roy Lewis Construction, delivering unparalleled value and quality on new construction in commercial and industrial applications. Roy Lewis Construction, building legacies one relationship at a time. Licensed in Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi.
Good morning. I'm Jessica Taloney with WKRG News 5 this morning. The owner of a local produce store is coming under fire for a controversial social media post. The post said all lives splatter and showed a drawing of a car running people over. The Facebook post drew outrage and sparked a protest outside Lil Bryan's produce store in 8 Mile. McGill Tulane Catholic High School has painted over a Confederate flag on a mural at the school. After seeing a petition calling for the Archdiocese to remove the symbol, the school decided to replace the Confederate flag with the state flag. The mural was painted on the ceiling of the McGill building's lobby in the 1950s. The artwork was inspired by Mobile's City Seal, which originally included the Confederate battle flag. A Spanish Fort High School student earned a perfect score on the ACT college entrance exam. The school celebrated Richard Fang's achievement on their Facebook page, saying it's the second perfect score for the Toros junior class of 2020. I'm Jessica Taloney, WKRG News 5.
Good morning, 622 on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, and it's time for the Mobile Morning Sports Report. New Orleans quarterback Drew Brees was met with backlash yesterday after making comments in a Yahoo Finance interview about kneeling for the anthem. Brees was asked whether he would be okay if players begin kneeling for the anthem again before NFL games.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place.
Brees' teammate, Saints safety Malcolm Jenkins, was one of many popular athletes and fellow Saints players to condemn Brees' statement.
If you don't understand that other people experience something totally different than you, then when you talk about being the brotherhood and all this other bull, it's just lip service or it's only on the field. Because when we step off of this field and I take my helmet off and I'm a black man walking around America and I'm telling you I'm dealing with these things, I'm telling you my communities are dealing with these things, and your response to me is, don't talk about that here. This is not the place. Drew, where is the place, Drew? I'm disappointed. I'm hurt.
Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, San Francisco 49ers cornerback Richard Sherman, and NBA star LeBron James also publicly disagreed with Brees' stance on the NFL protests. Later, in protests in New Orleans, NOLA.com captured protesters chanting an expletive towards their star quarterback. As of this morning, neither Brees nor the Saints have issued any public comments regarding the backlash from his interview.
I'm going to guess that wasn't like, heck yes, Drew Brees?
No, it was another one. All right. Just 2 days after former Auburn head coach Pat Dye passed away at the age of 80, legendary University of Tennessee coach and football player Johnny Majors passed away yesterday at 85 years old. Majors starred as a running back in Knoxville, finished second in the Heisman voting in 1956, then rebuilt programs at Iowa State, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee as the head coach. He coached Pittsburgh to a national championship in 1976 and won three SEC championships with the Vols. Majors was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1987. 625, that's a look at sports on Mobile Mornings.
This information update brought to you by CPC Office Technologies. All things copiers, all things service, CPC Office Technologies, cpctech.com. Phone 251-300-2695.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a few showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the upper 80s. Tonight, isolated evening showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s, and then tomorrow, mostly sunny with scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms and highs in the upper 80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Talking with Jim Cahaley from Bobio Funeral Home and Crematory. You've been in the business for a long time, but now you've opened up your own establishment. Why'd you do that?
Well, I felt compelled to get back into the business simply to bring about an affordable funeral alternative to the folks in Mobile County and surrounding counties.
When you talk about the affordability of funerals, that's something I have no knowledge of.
You're like most folks, no one has a clue until they get there. The average funeral nowadays runs between $8,000 to $10,000 to $15,000. At our place, the services we offer, which are the same as everyone else, start around $4,000 and go up from there. We're trying to make the funeral business affordable for folks again.
Hey Jim, what about cremation?
A direct cremation with no service involved starts at $895 and goes up from there. Where some of the larger firms are charging $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for the exact same service.
Tell folks how they can get more information.
The easiest way to contact us is email mobilefhc@gmail.com or our web address mobilefhc.com.
Good morning for the Lotus CBD Traffic Center. Mobile Police Department, county and state troopers are clear. Good ride so far from Government, Pleasant Valley, and back on the interstate. Also from Dauphin, Spring Hill, and Moffitt, 65. No delays across the bay. Waits. Good ride along I-10. Struggling to find the perfect Father's Day gift this year? The Blacksmith Experience at Daphne is offering special Father's Day gift certificates for beginning blacksmithing and knife making classes. Discover more at theblacksmithexperience.com. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
627 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, joins us here shortly to talk about Cristobal and just the rain we're going to have before that. Like the rain yesterday, today, and tomorrow, I think, are not not related to the tropical weather, but that's coming by the weekend. He'll give us his latest here on speed and direction and intensity of the storm. Oh, I got a story from down under, Dalton.
Oh, Australia.
It's a beautiful moment where a politician is speaking and a guy comes out of his house and tells the politician to get off his lawn. It's good stuff.
Good morning. I'm Jessica Taloney with WKRG News 5 this morning. The owner of a local produce store is coming under fire for a controversial social media post. The post said all lives splatter and showed a drawing of a car running people over. The Facebook post drew outrage and sparked a protest outside Lil Bryan's produce store in 8 Mile. McGill Tulane Catholic High School has painted over a Confederate flag on a mural at the school. After seeing a petition calling for the Archdiocese to remove the symbol, the school decided to replace the Confederate flag with the state flag. The mural was painted on the ceiling of the McGill building's lobby in the 1950s. The artwork was inspired by Mobile's city seal, which originally included the Confederate battle flag. A Spanish Fort High School student earned a perfect score on the ACT college entrance exam. The school celebrated Richard Fang's achievement on their Facebook page, saying it's the second perfect score for the Toros junior class of 2020. I'm Jessica Taloney, WKRG News 5.
Mako Forestry has the equipment and the knowledge to make your small or large property more usable, valuable, and absolutely more beautiful. Call Mako Forestry 251-747-1802 or online makoforestry.com and on Facebook.
You know, these days, delivery is the new norm. And to that point, I saw a mobile tire service the other day. Speaking of which, I got Scott Blair, owner of 2U Tire, on the phone. 2U Tire brings a tire store to you. Scott, now how does this work?
We have a huge Sprinter van with a European tire changer, balancer, precision balance tools, a flat repair station, and tire pressure sensors all on board.
Oh, that's cool. So you bring the tires with you?
Yes. Instead of selling someone whatever we have in stock, we work with our clients to determine the exact tire to fit their needs and their expectations. Then bring the tires with us to install. For fleets, that means on the job site or possibly after the vehicles get back at the end of the day.
That's so important for business owners and fleet managers, especially right now. So how can folks get in touch with you?
We can be reached at 251-415-5500 or logging on to 2utire.com. That's the number 2, letter U, tire.com, or find us on Facebook.
It's great to hear the creativity here and that you're doing so well helping out folks along the Gulf Coast. Y'all stay safe, and we're going to check back with you again real soon.
Hi, I'm Alec Naaman with Naaman's Catering, and we are the party planning business. So if you're planning a wedding, corporate event, or just a good old backyard social, call Naaman's Catering at 473-3900. Our professional event planners have many years' experience to make your event one to remember. So call Naaman's today at 473-3900. Look us up on the web at naamanscatering.com and let Naaman's Catering take care of all the details. Attention to detail is our specialty. God bless you, and go Jags!
If you're talking about it,
they're not doing anything.
There should be a law against that.
We're talking about it.
While unemployment has dropped, so have wages.
It's Talk Southern Style on FM Talk 106.5.
Special report, protests across America. Amid the national discussion, a war of words is exchanged between a former administration official and President Trump.
We all need
protests and calls for justice continue nationally in the day since George Floyd died while in custody of Minneapolis police. On Thursday, a memorial service in Floyd's honor will be held at North Central University in Minneapolis. Among the mourners, Floyd's son, Quincy Mason Floyd.
It wasn't justice for what's going on right now. And I appreciate everyone showing some support and love.
I'm John Lawrence.
Police say a New York City police officer on an anti-looting patrol was ambushed in Brooklyn yesterday by a man who walked up behind him and stabbed him in the neck. I'm John Trout.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. FedEx is adding surcharges to some shipments in the U.S. following rival UPS and charging more to offset rising costs and manage a surge of packages. The fees are designed to hit some of the largest shippers whose volume has exploded as consumers have hunkered down and ordered everything from cleaning supplies to computer monitors during a broad nationwide lockdown. The move will force the shippers to either absorb the costs as their own expenses rise to manage through the pandemic or pass them on to consumers through higher prices. Starting June 8th, FedEx is adding a surcharge of 30 cents to all packages headed to homes. Snapchat says it will stop promoting President Trump on its video messaging service, the latest example of a social media platform adjusting to how it treats this president. The president's posts will no longer show up in the app's Discover section, which showcases news and posts by celebrities and public figures. Crude oil down 65 cents at $36.64 a barrel. On Wall Street, futures this morning are lower. And that's Your Money Now.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today and see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Your employees and customers have new expectations when it comes to cleanliness. Cintas has the products and services you need to feel prepared. A trained Cintas technician can apply disinfectant and sanitizer spray to common surfaces. And we'll keep you well stocked with gloves, face masks, hand sanitizer, and disinfectant wipes. Professional cleaning supplies and PPE. Just a few ways Cintas can help you keep your business safe. Visit Cintas.com and get ready for the workday.
The people of Baldwin County believe in hard work, and they take pride in the work they do. The folks at Gulf Coast Tools share these values and are committed to helping you get the job done right. Gulf Coast Tools in Foley offers a wide selection of tools from woodworking to metalworking, including Festool, DeWalt, Bosch, Makita, and Craig. After the work is done, Gulf Coast Tools has you covered as your local authorized Big Green Egg dealer offering all sizes and accessories. Visit Gulf Coast Tools at the Outdoor Center on Highway 59 in Foley and like us on Facebook.
Now weather with Mobile Radio's only staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams.
6:35. Good morning, Dr. Bill.
Good morning, Sean.
All right. It's 3 degrees cooler than it was yesterday. So at 72 at our studios, but definitely humid this morning.
Yeah, you can't say it's pleasant now. It's a little cooler.
No, not at all. It's summer-like.
Right. Well, we've got another humid day today. We've also got some showers and thunderstorms in the forecast, mainly this afternoon, but we will have more sunshine today, and we'll get into the upper 80s, could possibly even make it to 90 degrees. But again, look for a few showers and thunderstorms to develop through the afternoon. Tonight, you may see some isolated showers and thunderstorms in the evening, mainly leftover from the afternoon activity, and we'll cool down to only 72 degrees for tonight. Now, tomorrow, again, quite a bit of sunshine, but afternoon showers and thunderstorms, and a high tomorrow in the upper 80s, so about 88 degrees, again, possibly getting to 90 degrees. Now, over the weekend, it's a different story. Right now, we're looking at Tropical Storm Cristobal, which is now over the Yucatan Peninsula, so it is going to lose strength. So it has made landfall, and it'll move across very slowly over the southern portion of Yucatan and drop back to a tropical depression. Then over the weekend, it will start to move to the north and come back over the Gulf of Mexico, where it's expected to intensify again back up to a tropical storm. So Saturday, it'll move into the southern Gulf, and then on Sunday into the northern Gulf. And it looks like now, Sunday night, early Monday morning, it will make landfall, and the likely target is still Louisiana, either the central or western portion of the coastline. And, of course, we will be on the eastern side, which is the rainy portion of the tropical storm. And by the way, it could become a minimal hurricane as it nears the coast, but most likely it'll be a tropical storm. So what we could expect is an increase in shower activity on Saturday, And then the numerous showers and a few thunderstorms on Sunday as the storm approaches the central Gulf Coast. And we could pick up some very heavy rain on Sunday, Sunday night, Monday, and into Tuesday. The storm will move up through Louisiana on Monday and then be in Arkansas on Tuesday. But we will still have a southerly flow of very moist tropical air that will be streaming up off the Gulf and into our area into Tuesday. So we could pick up anywhere from 4 to 8 inches of rain over the weekend and into early next week. We will see a rough surf, of course, as the storm approaches. It'll be building up over the weekend. We could see some minor flooding along the coast with the sea levels rising maybe a foot, maybe 2 feet, but enough to cause some flooding. However, flash flooding will be a problem because we will see some heavy rain for Sunday into Monday and early Tuesday, and some of those heavy showers that could produce some flash flooding in the area and in the interior of southwest Alabama.
All right. So this is going to be into next week dealing with Cristobal. It's not just a weekend
Even
thing.
Though it's up into Arkansas and eventually moving farther north, we will continue with this stream of moisture coming in from the Gulf, tropical moisture, high humidity, and numerous showers and thunderstorms. So we won't have a deficit in rainfall anymore. We will definitely have a surplus.
It's funny how that happens. And then we'll end up at an average. It's an interesting thing. All right, Dr. Bill, this is completely self-serving. But that timeline, so you're leaning more on Sunday for the beginning of the impacts from Cristobal than Saturday, right?
Right. We'll see an increase in shower activity on Saturday, but Sunday we'll be in for some more heavy rain Sunday night and Monday and then into Tuesday. But right now it looks like the storm will make landfall very, very early on Monday morning in Louisiana. Could it change the track a little bit? Yes, it could. Right now, the best bet is the central or western portion of the Louisiana coast.
Now, you say some showers on Saturday, but right now, are you looking Saturday a washout, or is there going to be some sun? Can we get outside?
Not a lot of sun on Saturday. No, it looks like we'll have scattered to numerous showers and a few thunderstorms. Going to keep temperatures in the mid-80s. And then Sunday, it looks like... Yeah, if you want to call it a washout, that'd be appropriate.
So 2 days of being inside. I don't know if I could do this, but 2 days of being inside for the weekend. All right.
Yeah.
That's what we're facing. All right, Dr. Bill, we'll check back with you real soon.
Okay, Sean.
That's our staff meteorologist, tropical weather expert, bringer of bad news, Dr. Bill Williams. Captain Bobby, we'll see how he navigates this. A little over an hour from now, it's the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Report, one of the most popular items on our podcast page. And one that gets shared all over social media as well. We love that. We'll get him on at about 7:50 and find out where he'd probably say, I'm fishing in my backyard with all the rain.
But yeah.
We'll get the fishing report. At least we'll hear what he's been doing this week. All right, that's coming up. 6:40, we'll check traffic next.
Have you been harassed by sun rays while driving home from work? Did you get hot in traffic through no fault of your own? If so, you need to call the professionals at ProTint Window Tinting, 802-1234. There's no need to continue applying sunscreen to just the left side of your body. Let a quality ceramic, no-fault, lifetime guaranteed tint from ProTint protect you today. Call 802-1234. The work provided by the professionals at ProTint Window Tinting is equal to, and in fact, greater than, the work performed at other window tint places. Tammy's Old Dutch Ice Cream Shop is open for walk-in service and limited seating. We've also installed a Dutch door for walk-up service. Just ring the bell and place your order.
The children are having a blast ringing the bell, and they are loving the Dutch door. This is Cammie Wayne, owner of Cammie's Old Dutch Ice Cream Shop. My heartfelt thanks go out to my wonderful and loyal customers. You make it easy to keep on dipping. Cammie's Old Dutch Ice Cream Shop, 51 years and still dipping.
From the Spring Hill Toyota.com Traffic Center, Mobile Police Department, County and State Troopers not working any new accidents. Still there at Grand Bay Wimber Road and Wayne Moore Road. State Troopers there, but Mobile Police Department again are cleared. And we're still looking good northbound 65 up towards Pritchard and Saraland. Alliance Roofing has been the most trusted roofer in the Mobile and Baldwin County area for over 26 years. Licensed, bonded, and insured for residential to commercial, we have you covered. Always free estimates. Call 580-ROOF for Alliance Roofing. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
642, FM Talk 1065, Mobile Boardings. Remember, nappy voting going on right now. VoteNappies.com. We sure appreciate y'all's votes out there. And yes, we do realize we have multiple shows competing in multiple categories. It's been the story for the station because we do so many live local shows. That's cool. Hey, listen, just vote for an FM Talk 1065 show. I'd be happy, except for Midday Mobile.
Yeah,
do not vote for Midday Mobile.
No, that would be a bad vote. You can vote once a day, every day, through I think June 26th is when voting ends. But if you go to votenappies.com and make sure that you vote in the media section, but also go ahead and vote in the other sections too, and support a lot of our local businesses that are up for nominations, or up for awards.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about that coming up in about 8:30, because Rob Holbert from Lanyap joins us then. And warnings about abuse of power and division. It wasn't just Esper this week. It was former SecDef Jim Mattis blasting President Trump's handling of the protests. More on that from Bob Constantini.
Here in the spot where the federal forces came through Monday, clearing Lafayette Park, a crowd is again gathered, facing off with people in military fatigues, but also some federal agents who are dressed completely in black, no emblems showing where they're from.
Just as the riot gear-clad troops and agents are relieved, so too the protesters. One young man from Virginia taking over the night shift.
We need to keep the pressure up. And I know that I think it's my job to come out. We need to do our jobs to relieve other protesters who've been standing out here and doing the work the whole day.
Unable to get that close to the White House, a lot of the protesters decided to march around the nation's capital. The Monday evening use of crowd-controlled munitions to move gathering but peaceful protests away from the far end of Lafayette Park was not designed to allow President Trump to hold up a Bible near the St. John's Episcopal Church. That's the word from White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany, saying the Attorney General saw damage done to the church and park the night before.
AG Barr had determined that we needed to expand the perimeter by one block on each side. He was surprised to see that that perimeter had not been moved, so he said that we needed to get going with moving that perimeter. He told the officers that out there. That was late afternoon.
Barr was seen inspecting the site less than an hour before the protesters were forced out. He calls it an abuse of executive authority that we witnessed in Lafayette Square. That's a quote from the first Trump Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, speaking to The Atlantic. Forced out over a disagreement about troop levels in the Middle East, Mattis concludes with this quote, "Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people, does not even pretend to try." In a virtual speech, former President Barack Obama told demonstrators to get active politically.
Voting versus protest. This is not a either or. This is a both and.
Looking to have the final word, President Trump did a double response tweet. Probably the only thing Barack Obama and I have in common is that we both had the honor of firing Jim Mattis, the world's most overrated general. I asked for his letter of resignation and felt great about it. Bob Costantini, Washington.
All right, 645 FM Talk 1065. So with that being said, and the questions about the Insurrection Act of 1807 being brought into effect to let the president bring troops into cities, counties where the mayors or the councils there are not keeping the riots and looting under control. Should President Trump invoke the Insurrection Act by bringing the U.S. military in to quell protests in cities where riots have gotten out of control? That's our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. You hear some disagreement at the top levels, but we want to hear from you when you vote online. Front page of our website, so go to fmtalk1065.com. You'll see the logo for 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and the question, should President Trump invoke the Insurrection Act by bringing in the U.S. military to quell protests in cities where riots have gotten out of control? We'll tally these votes throughout the morning and report on them. And reminder, too, that's my buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Got junk in your yard? In your house, storage unit, got a house you're cleaning out, getting ready to sell? Wherever you got junk, it could be big stuff. I mean, it could be above-ground swimming pool and a swing set. It could be boxes of things in the house. You don't physically have the strength to move it. You don't have the vehicle to move it. You don't know where to take the junk. Trey does. They can handle all that. Go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone and make that appointment today at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. 646, we'll be checking in with news headlines from WKRG, and Dalton's got sports coming up.
Industry leader UniFirst is committed to supporting Gulf Coast frontline workers and salute folks across this great country working hard, caring for our neighbors, and keeping our economy strong. UniFirst supplies hygienically clean workwear and facility services, as well as masks, hand sanitizer, disinfectants, and cleaning supplies. These critical products ensure our community has a healthy experience and environment. Learn how UniFirst can help you present a professional image and provide a safe work environment. Visit UniFirst.com today.
Dix River Shooting is part of the Baldwin County community. Locally owned and operated in Robertsdale off Interstate 10, exit 53 Wilcox Road. We're open for business and have everything you need for shooting, including rifles, shotguns, pistols, revolvers, ammo, targets, scopes, gun cases, range bags, and reloading supplies. We thank the community for your continued support and want you to know we're following necessary guidelines to ensure your well-being. New summer hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday. Styx River Shooting Center. Get your aim on.
Good morning. I'm Jessica Taloney with WKRG News 5 this morning. The owner of a local produce store is coming under fire for a controversial social media post. The post said all lives splatter and showed a drawing of a car running people over. The Facebook post drew outrage and sparked a protest outside Lil Bryan's produce store in 8 Mile. McGill Tooling Catholic High School has painted over a Confederate flag on a mural at the school. After seeing a petition calling for the Archdiocese to remove the symbol, the school decided to replace the Confederate flag with the state flag. The mural was painted on the ceiling of the McGill Building's lobby in the 1950s. The artwork was inspired by Mobile's City Seal, which originally included the Confederate battle flag. A Spanish Fort High School student earned a perfect score on the ACT College Entrance Exam. The school celebrated Richard Fang's achievement on their Facebook page, saying it's the second perfect score for the Toros junior class of 2020. I'm Jessica Taloney, WKRG News 5.
Headed to the beach? Stop by Allegri Farm Market to fill your ice chest with the freshest fruit and veggies of the season. Just pick from a farm right down the street. Enjoy a crisp, cold watermelon when you come in from the sun. Sweet silver king corn, tomatoes, colorful peppers, and juicy citrus at prices the big stores can't match. The sweet taste of summer awaits you at Allegri Farm Market, Highway 181 at County Road 64 in Daphne.
Before we get into sports, I do feel compelled as we're talking about Allegri. You had corn last week.
Oh, my
silver,
goodness.
Silver King corn from Allegri.
Oh.
It was magic.
Yeah.
It's awesome that they get the corn planted and up in time for June here at Allegri, because they do this all locally in Baldwin County. But y'all, the Silver King we got from Allegri the other day, he's a technical term, stupid good.
Stupid good.
It was awesome. Y'all, oh my gosh, it was good.
Yeah, actually, my one-year-old daughter, who's only saying things like no and yes. Mama and Dada,
yeah.
We gave her that corn. She said, yeah, this is stupid good. She said those words.
I love that kid.
That's how good it is. 10 till 7 on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Horwig, and it's time for the Mobile Morning Sports Report. New Orleans quarterback Drew Brees was met with backlash yesterday after making comments in a Yahoo Finance interview about kneeling for the anthem. Brees was asked whether he would be okay if players begin kneeling for the anthem again before NFL games with the current unrest in the nation.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place.
One of Brees' teammates, Saints safety Malcolm Jenkins, well, he was one of many popular athletes and fellow Saints players to condemn Brees' statements.
If you don't understand that other people experience something totally different than you, then when you talk about being the brotherhood and all this other bull, it's just lip service or it's only on the field. Because when we step off of this field and I take my helmet off and I'm a black man walking around America and I'm telling you I'm dealing with these things, I'm telling you my communities are dealing with these things, and your response to me is, don't talk about that here. This is not the place. Where is the place, Drew? I'm disappointed. I'm hurt.
Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, San Francisco 49ers cornerback Richard Sherman, and NBA star LeBron James also publicly disagreed with Breeze's stance on the NFL protests. Later, in protests in New Orleans, NOLA.com captured protesters chanting an expletive towards their star quarterback. As of this morning, neither Breeze nor the Saints organization have issued any public comments regarding the backlash from his interview. Just 2 days after former Auburn head coach Pat Dye passed away at the age of 80, legendary University of Tennessee coach and football player Johnny Majors passed away yesterday at 85 years old. Majors starred as a running back in Knoxville in the mid-50s. He was named the SEC's MVP in 55 and 56 and an All-American in 56, the same season he finished second in voting for the Heisman Trophy. As a coach, Majors rebuilt programs at Iowa State, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee. He coached Pittsburgh to a national championship in 1976 before returning to his alma mater to coach the Volunteers. As Tennessee's coach from 1977 to 1992, Majors led the Vols to three SEC championships, including their first in 16 years in 1985. Majors compiled 185 wins as a head coach and earned three National Coach of the Year honors along the way. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1987. It's 6:53 on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, and that's a look at sports on Mobile Mornings.
By the way, amazing work. The number of sensor bleep edits you had to do for sports may be a new record.
It could be.
New record there. 6:53, right back.
This information update brought to you by Arrow Exterminating. Business or residential, inside and out, let Arrow take care of all of your pest control needs. Call Arrow, 888-GO-ARROW, or online, arrowexterminators.com.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a few showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the upper 80s. Tonight, isolated evening showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s, and then tomorrow, mostly sunny with scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms and highs in the upper 80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Imagine all the charm and character of a home in Midtown Mobile without the upkeep and maintenance, without the yard work and responsibility. Now you're thinking of 1412 Midtown. These apartment homes are located on Government Street in the beautiful historic district just minutes from downtown Mobile. 1412 Midtown puts you close to shopping, dining, and entertainment. Newly renovated with granite countertops and matching stainless steel appliances, the character of this 1942 built home remains with majestic oaks and real hardwood floors. 1 and 2 bedrooms available with central heat and air, frost-free refrigerators, and gas ranges. All units are cable ready and include washer-dryer hookups. This residence is professionally managed with 24-hour emergency maintenance. If you're ready for Midtown living, call us at 251-345-1260 to schedule an appointment and to see these special homes. Before you know it, you'll be living your best life at 1412 Midtown.
Good morning, everyone, from the SpringHillToyota.com Traffic Center Mobile Police Department. Clear. State troopers still there at Grand Bay Wimble Road and Wayne Moore Road. Looks great across the Bayway and the Causeway. Again, from Tillman's Corner, Theodore, checking in accident-free and no delays up towards Saraland. Market in the Park is back again this Saturday from 7:30 in the morning till noon in downtown Mobile at Cathedral Square. Stop to get locally produced fruits, veggies, plants, and flowers presented by the City of Mobile Special Events Department at specialeventsmobile.org. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 6:55, FM Talk 106.5. At Mobile Boardings, I want to give you a heads up quickly, too. This is it's been a deadly year for law enforcement in the state of Alabama, and now another one as a police officer in Moody, Alabama, was killed the other night. Now funds being raised for the slain Moody police officer, Sergeant Stephen Williams. Right now, GoFundMe account has been launched for the family of Moody Police Department Sergeant Stephen Williams, fatally shot in the line of duty Tuesday evenings. Williams, 50, is survived by a wife and three sons. He also serves as a police officer for 23 years. GoFundMe was launched early yesterday morning. Donations will go to any needs the Williams family has. As of last last night. The GoFundMe account had garnered about $33,000. I'll put a link up on my Twitter feed as well. You can get it there, or if you'll go to GoFundMe.com and search for Moody Police Department and Officer Stephen Williams, you'll see the way to donate there, and we would appreciate it. All right, we need a moment of levity out there, and to me, the moment of levity sounded like this when it came from down under. You had a politician there speaking about a program they have to grant renovation money, $25,000 in home builder stimulus to people there. And this was Googong, New South Wales, Australia.
Okay.
So the PM was there speaking, and it went a little something like this. He's doing his politics thing, and then
has been delivered 10,000 Australians.
You ever get off the grass, please?
Sure. Let's just move back from there.
Hey guys, I've just reseated that.
Please, off the thing.
Sorry, mate.
All good. That's all good. Thanks. So it's the projects that count.
Make sure you get off that bloke's lawn.
So what you don't see there, so the politicians stand there on somebody's lawn to do like a photo op, and the guy comes out of his house, basically in the bathrobe, and says, "Get off my lawn, I just reseated that. Y'all are standing on my stuff," but in pure, you know, nice, polite Australian way.
Yeah.
Which is a moment of joy this morning. A good get off my lawn moment out there. All right, coming right back. Hour number two of Mobile Mornings.